about the halitrashim, right? About 10-15 lines from the bottom. So the Gemara is quoting a chapter from the Mishnah, where the Mishnah is discussing which shoes are acceptable for halitra and which shoes are not acceptable. The Mishnah says that Antilya is not acceptable. If the Yivama, the Mishnah 2000 and Allah says that if the Yivama removes the right legging, it can't be the issue. The issue is like a thumb from the right foot of the Yavam, Sula. This does not serve as a halitra, you have to do dafke with the shoe. So the Gemara asks, that 50 lines from the bottom of two days in a day, they have to quote the Mishnah. The main law, you mean to say, the Mishnah is teaching Shalimah, the Antilya, Lav Manohu, that Antilya is not considered a shoe. With Na'anami, we also have a Mishnah in Shalim. Mishnah Shalom, as well as many other Mishnahis, give us the din of Maritaiyish. That a person is not only forbidden to do an Aveira, he's forbidden to do something that may lead people to think that he did an Aveira. There are two types, we discussed on different occasions, there are two types of Maritaiyish. Sometimes there's a need for Maritaiyish, and sometimes there's a need for Hashad. They really mean two different things. Either Hashad means if I'll do something that's mutter, that people will think I'm doing an Aveira, and they'll think badly of me. They'll think that I'm a Baal Averis. I'm not permitted to destroy my own reputation. If they think I do Averis anyway, so this is a tzaddik. If they think that I'm a tzaddik. By doing this act, which is really mutter, the onlookers will think that I'm doing an Averis, I'm destroying my own reputation. Maybe I'll go a place of my time, I'll go into a traitor restaurant. And if people will think I'm going in, they'll never think in a million years that the food is kosher. They're not straight, but they'll think that I'm going in to buy kosher food. It's such a situation that by walking in, people will think that I'm going to buy kosher food. I'm ruining my own reputation. So that's an issue of kasha. And if it's a donor, they'll do it as people go into you guys. If it's a little bit, they'll never go into
Right, that's a bit of my assessment.
People will think that you're eating the baby. That's a different thing. That's the thing that talks in Sam Achlegis. We live in a Malachim where we don't do Malacha, so those who come from Eretz Yisrael are forbidden to do Malacha also, if I ask you. Because we learn Ma'i Shalma or Dom in Sam Achlegis. And then there's a Machlegis in Shulchan Aruch, and in the first game, what if the fellow from Eretz Yisrael wants to do Malacha Bittinim, that no one is watching? It's generally accepted that it's forbidden because with respect to Malacha, it's very hard to keep it a secret. But if the person doesn't Malacha, ultimately somebody will find out that he did Malacha, and then he's violating a tradition. So it's not a shot. The Gemara has another thing. They're called off the shots of Chacham in the same time. That means when the Chacham and the Chachmei HaTalmud specifically forbid a certain act because of Maratayim, even when no one's watching, it's also forbidden. It's identical. Then the cool means I shech the cow, and after shechting the cow, then the blood is born. And then after we derive it into the passage that by the hema, the blood, the uber, is nitzah the shechita thing. When I shech the cow, when I shech the mother, so the shechita takes effect not only on the big cow, it even takes effect on the uber inside the body of the big cow. So then after that calf that's born after the shechita of the mother doesn't need any shechita. The Rabbana on this name, our time, they forbid us from eating that year, so what we're going to do is speak. So what, no one watching? I'm all by myself, I have a farm all by myself in Minnesota. Nobody, there's no Jews around for 1,000 miles. Nobody knows that I'm in kosher and kosher. But then the Gemara has a din, that whatever the Talmud specifically forbid because of Maritayim, I feel the Chavir Chavir and the Tzot, even though no one is watching the Tzot. And I said, if Muhammad never made a Gemara forbidding us to go into a trade for luncheonette because people will think that we're eating trade for food, that's a din in the Torah. Says Muhammad, we eat in the Kiyah, Hashem in Israel. And the Mishnah, in Mishnah is Golem, and the Mishnah is Teshvi'ah, and the other Gemara is quote, that's also got the source of this din in the Torah. It's a biblical din, not a rabbinical din. So they are given a third that to do something which will bring chashad upon us is an issa deraita. So whenever you have an issa deraita of doing an act which is chashad, so that's also whenever there is a chashad. Whenever there is a chashad, it's mutter. So whenever the Tanai made a specific Zera, the Masha of the Tanai said, even if I did my laundry on Friday, you're forbidden to hang up your laundry, let's say you have an Erev in the whole area, in the backyard or in the community, so you're forbidden to hang up your laundry on Shabbos, lest somebody will be close to you that you wash your clothes on Shabbos, which is forbidden. As long as the law on Shabbos is to wash clothes. So the Gemara has an Achleket Tanai, what if my washing machine is inside my house? And I washed the clothes on Friday, I just didn't have a chance to hang them up, and I want to hang them up in the bathroom. I want to hang them up overnight in the bathroom or in the living room. A room that I'm not going to use. So there isn't going to be any chasha. No one's going to see what I have in my home. So that's the Machloekes HaTanaim. And the Machloekes HaRishonim is not opinion. And Shulchan Aruch is possible that it's forbidden to hang up the clothes in your own dalam, in your own home, and no one is watching. That's forbidden. Why? Because that's the Dover Shalosh HaChonim in Ha'ar Zayin. The Mishnah and the Gemara specifically forbids having that clothing. The Mishnah didn't rely just on the prophet that it says the Yisrael came and Hashem and Yisrael. That he forbids to do anything that would bring Kashad upon himself. The Mishnah specifically lists it as an activity which is forbidden because of Kashad. Since it was specifically Nigza, Idea Chachamim, and then we say, talk about Tilo Bechad Nechadon, even when you're inside your home and no one is watching. But whenever, let's say, Yisrael going into a trade or restaurant, that's not mentioned in the Gemara, that we know on our own that that's forbidden, that's an Yisrael and Adela. Then, if there is a Hashad, it's not there. If it's clear to you that there's no Hashad, then it's not there.
The
Moshe is
actually
invited to
the
Shabbat.
He used to
take the car to
the...
He used to
drive
to the
school.
Here, the Mishnah list of this is in a kashya that we're forbidden to do something in a davar hamutar, in a fashion that will lead, mislead people to believe that you're doing an aveira, and thereby ruin your own reputation. Then there's another thing which is really unrelated. Let's say there's a butcher shop that has a questionable hashgah, or a bad hashgah, has a questionable hashgah. We use a Russian machine. And if I go into that butcher shop, people will not think that I'm going in to make a telephone call. People will think it might be a kosher butcher shop. But they won't think that I'm doing any of it. No, they know that I'm such a good tzaddik. And if I go in, it's a sin of that approach. Or I'll go into a restaurant which has questionable, the ham sandwiches that they know I'm not going to eat. But it has other products also. I have some kind of ice cream. And there's a dispute about that ice cream, whether it's edible or whether it's kosher or not kosher. So if I walk in, I'll mislead people into believing, and I know that it's not kosher, and I'll go in. This will mislead people into believing that it is kosher. That's called maritime, which is interesting. Maritime means that I mislead people into thinking that this is a davar hamutar. That's what we always call this neighbor, a tikkun nisho. But there's a difference over here. This is just neighbor, geshevi al-dasa. The real tikkun nisho means you are a nazir. A nazir is forbidden to drink wine. So I give you a bottle of wine and I say, have a l'chaim. Let's take l'chaim over the Hanukkah, whatever occasion. Or a person is a ben noyach and is forbidden to eat pez min achalit, I give the go and an egg min achalit. I give some non-kosher food, I encourage a person to do some other. That's an outbreak of evil and sit in the shop. But over here, what, I'm going out of my way in order to be mashal somebody. I'm minding my own business, I'm going in to make a telephone call in this butcher shop. I have a telephone booth there as well. I'm going in minding my own business to take care of my own affairs. Not only, what do I care that somebody may think that it's a kosher butcher shop? I'm not going out of my way. I'm not doing an action. I'm not doing a pu'ula in order to mislead the people into thinking that it's kosher. So that's the chiddush of the Gemara, that this too is a violation of mislead of the tikkunos. So our friend points out, that these are really two different demons. Sometimes we refer to both of them as maritime, but they're really two different halachas. One is maritime as a form of mislead of the tikkunos of the shevi al-tasa. Even though I'm not doing anything specifically to be machshel you, but it turns out that I have been machshel somebody doing an aveira. They think that this thing is mutter. So they're going to be doing an aveira based on me, based on the fact that they think that I'm a liar. And the other one has been gone from the different issue of kashan, that you're not permitted to destroy your own reputation. As I mentioned, our salvation keeps the same yeshiva. He doesn't understand that story about the Chofetz Chaim. He tells a story that Chofetz Chaim was once going on a train, and the Talibot was sitting there, and he asked him where he was going, because he's going to Radin. He said, "Well, he's going to Radin. Do you know the holy great Sadiq, the Chofetz Chaim, What is going to say that to me? He says, yeah, I know. Because is he really such a great tzaddik? What's he going to say? So he says, no, no. He starts telling his parents, is he really such a great chassid? So he tones it down. So the other one got very angry. Why he's knocking the chassid? He doesn't know what to say to himself. Well, finally, at the end of the trip, he went his way, and then he went to the Beis Medrash. So the chassid came with Tamar, comes to the chassid, went to the Beis Medrash, and he got down at his seat. And that's all about. That happened to come to Zaman in that same Beis Medrash. And we noticed what was in the front. That was the man on the train. So he said, who's that? He said, that's the chassid. So he went to apologize to him why, at the end of their conversation, he was insulting the chassid, crying, why he's knocking the greatness of the chassid. And Chassid didn't know what to say. So he came to apologize why he was insulting him on the train. So Chassid said, no, you're right and I'm wrong. And I wrote a whole page on Lashon Hara. It is forbidden to talk Lashon Hara. And I realized now, I forgot one very important thing. Not only is it forbidden to speak Lashon Hara against other people, it's forbidden to speak Lashon Hara against yourself. So eventually he tells over this story and he says, he doesn't really understand why that's such a chiddush of the Chassid. That's exactly the thing. That my assignment, Dina Pasham, what is the din over here? That my reputation is not my personal property. If I have a gemara, if I want, I can give it away. I can give away my glasses, my clothes, whatever my property, whatever is my property, I can give it away. Can I cut off my arm and give it away to someone? So the Pasham is saying, no, that's forbidden because my body doesn't belong to me. The Pasham says in the Navi, on the Pasham's Lihain, the body, the soul, everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't belong to you, so it's not yours to give away. So your reputation as well does not belong to you. A person is forbidden to destroy his own reputation. That's exactly the din. The Yishin Nikim, the Hashem, when he saw that a person is forbidden to do a Dabra Hamutta, which would lead people to think that he's doing an Aveir.
So what about Jesus?
It's a different thing. Well, Jesus means Midas Ha'emes, that a person shouldn't exaggerate his grace. But it doesn't mean that he should lower his
desire.
What?
Someone
once said that modesty is the highest conceit. I'm sorry. I think that the Kedoshi Shorim is known as the first one in world literature to describe a Balgeiser who acts like a monk. That's the whole description of it. Here? Here the Gemara quotes the Mishnah Shorim that the people who go into counting Matzah Shekel money every year. Everybody has to give Matzah Shekel money for the purpose of purchasing the Kavanah Chassid, the Gidim and the Musafim that we offer every day. But how to have Kohanim, or somebody go in and count all the money and put it in bags and take it to the bank, or take it to the merchant to sell the to buy the bank for the purpose of the Kavanah. So the people go in to count money, there's loads and loads of money over there, so you can never tell how much money there is. So the onlookers may think that someone's pocketing money, so he makes sure no one has any funds. So he may put the money in the cuff of his pants, make sure there are no cuffs. He may put the money in the hem and the hem of the clothing. He makes sure that there's no hem and no shoes and no nothing. There's no place where they can hide the money. Where are they going to put the money in the hair? They have to wear clothing and all the clothing top to bottom has to be such that there's absolutely no place for them to put the money. So nobody will be chosher then. And since they're dealing with money, they pocketed some of the money. So the Mishnah says, and in Hatorin, and he used to go in to make Truma Falishka. Truma Falishka means that he used to go in to take some of the money. Just like we have a deal of Mafrish Zayin Truma. The Mafrish Truma, you can't give 100, let's say I'm very generous. So the deal is you can give Truma anything from a Nashu, Menaferia, the deal is a Chita Acha, and Teres with Kola Free. I can have a gigantic pile of food that's all tangled, and I can Mafrish one kernel of grain, and I can declare this one kernel of grain should be Truma for the whole pile of table. The Rabbanu, the Gemara says, you're forbidden to do that. You have to give 2%, 2%, leader benenum. Or if you're generous, you give 1 out of 40. Or if you want to be a little stingy, you give 1 out of 60. But it's not right to give only 6 offers. Something like that, if you give 6 offers, it's good. But if he's very, very, very generous, he wants to give everything to the Christ, and the Mishnah says it's not tough. Because Truma has to be righteous, so she around the form, you have to have something that's holy. You have to declare this Truma to the exclusion of everything else. I'm going to make everything Truma, so it's not called Reishis. Reishis means, by definition, Shiorei HaNikar. I'm leaving over the other food that becomes Kulim Nisikar. So the din is that the Truma, you can be Mafrish from a Mashu up until 100% minus a Mashu. You have a range to be Mafrish. So that's the din of Truma. Mafrish Truma, and it takes effect on whatever is left. So similarly, there's a din of Truma Falishka. That when the Kohanim went in to count up all the money to take it, they didn't take all of the money. They were tailoring. They did Truma Chalishka means they took a lot of the money and they left over part of the money. They both are Din of Hafrash of Truma. The Din of Truma Shulma Kadesh in every day also. You know, it says, when the Kohanim, when the Kohen goes to the Mizbeach in the morning, he has to do Shulma Kadesh, and it's a special thing. He has to take off all of the ashes. That's the thing about Torah Kadesh. When there's too much, when there's too great a pile of ashes on top of the Mizbeach, and then Rashi writes on Chumash, and Rashi says, the Kohen has to remove all of the ashes in the Chutzpah. But that's not the list of Shulma Kadesh that was done every day. Every week or every couple of days, depending on how many people happen to bring korbanos in those 2 days, maybe a lot of korbanos, maybe 2 korbanos. Whenever there's too many yeshes, I'm in the test, you have to remove and put in the chutzpah gimel mat. But the mitzvah of Shulman Tadeshin was done every day with a din of Shulman. Had to take a little bit, Rashi writes the Malam Master, and put it on the floor right next to the Nazir. And that Shulman Tadeshin was also a din like Shulman. It's a din of being makrish Shulman yeshes. It's all yeshes that the korbanos have been burned and turn into ashes. But the din of Chula Tadeshin, that the mitzvah of burning the carbonus is not completed just when everything is burned and turned into ashes. You're not finished yet. You still have to do a mitzvah of Hakashat Chula. What is Hakashat Chula? You markish a little bit of Chula, and then everything else becomes like Chula the Sukkana. The Hakashat Chula has an effect on everything else. You can only say that until the time that you do the Chula Tadeshin, then it's still a din of Nehila. And all of the ashes on the Mizbeach. Usually the din is that Hegdish has the din of Me'ila, it's a din to be men, and then the Hegdish calls on that it's still Omeg Limitzvot. You have a carbon chakras, a carbon oila, a carbon asham, but you're supposed to be marked on the Mizbeach, then there's a din of Mara the Hegdish then. It's a din to be Mara the Hegdish, and if somebody was men, then the Hegdish has to take care of the Hegdish and bring Hasham Gizeh. But what happens if the Hegdish already was this kind of Mizbeach? But then the Gemara has a cloud, and the Hadar Shinas is the Zvaso, Umar and Bar. Once it's already fulfilled the mitzvah of the carbon, then it's no longer under the mitzvah, so there's no longer any din of meat. So one might have thought, if you already shech the carbon chakras to the carbon ashram or the carbon oilah, and your mouth is the annual amount of the death, and everything was burned, so there's nothing left to do, it's all finished. But since the mitzvah is already completed, and everything turned into ashes, until it turns into ashes, it didn't fulfill the mitzvah of HaKrov. Even though the mitzvah of the carbon you fulfill when you do Zrikas Adam, that's still in the fact, the chaylah, you're not going to the mitzvah of HaKrovah, HaKrovah, until you burn it. Fine, so let's burn it. But even after you burn it, the Gemara says there's still a din of Me'ilah. It's a sugi and asef of Me'ilah, the first service. There is still a din of Me'ilah on the ashes. What is it aimed for? The Gemara says, no, all of the ashes are aimed for the mitzvah of Shulman Tadeshin. And then the Gemara says, once you take out this Malah HaMachta, a tiny small amount, the law of Akhtavishin from the big pile, that's considering this kind of mitzvah on all the ashes. It's a thing like a brush of truma. Just like a brush of truma, you take off a mashu, a little bit of truma. So it's called on all of the tavur. So too, truma fadeshin is called on all of the ashes. And so to this thing of truma chalishko, they were dealing in the Yishan and Shkodam, they didn't get like that. And in the Makrish, the truma chalishko means when the Quran is going to take out, they don't take out all of the nachas, a shekel of money that happens to be there. You know, 3 times a year they're going to take out the numbers. And that's going to be for the budget for that period of the year. They're going 2 weeks before Pesach, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And it's the fiscal year, the Beis HaMikdash begins from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The korbanos have to be brought. They announce everybody should bring Rosh Chodesh Adar. They give everybody a month to bring. Not everyone is going to... Yeah, all year long they keep on bringing in money. So the first right. So the first time they would do Truma Talishka, the mission says 3 times a year they do Truma Talishka, they take out large sums of money. So the first time in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they take out a large sum of money to last them from Pesach to Shavuot. And 2 weeks before Shavuot, they're going again to take out another large sum of money to last from Shavuot to Sukkot. And then 2 weeks before Sukkot is Rosh Hashanah, they take out a larger sum of money that's going to last from Sukkot until Pesach. So those are 3 times a year that they do from the Talish Kamei. The Mara, the Babli, makes it clear, Rishon Rosh, as I've said, Rishon Rosh, the Babli in the end of the Sukkot, that when you do the Truma Talishka, it doesn't mean you take the money. No, it's called Truma Talishka. It's like our precious Truma. By taking off the Shiori Halishka, you do Truma, and then the Shiori Halishka. The Mara talks about the Mishnah, it's like, what do you do with the Shiori Halishka? Left over money. It's not the same as Maisa Master Hashemah. When they took out the Shulmas HaMishka, so they used it to buy korbanos and take the full Shavuot. So you should go to the Sukkot, but from Sukkot to the next paper. So next Rosh Chodesh Nisan. What do they do with the money that's left over? Let's say they took a sum of money from paper for Shavuot. What do they do if that money left over? So the Mishnah discusses that's called Maizer Shulmas HaMishka. Maizer Shulmas HaMishka. But then, when they do the Shulmas HaMishka, there's money left in the Mishka. That's called Shiori HaMishka. the Shiva, the two different things. The Shaui Arush is used for one person, and the Moisa, and the Shnai, have a whole discussion what
you do.
Well,
this is the first one, and you
Yeah, usually you're not going to do anything with it till the end of the year. No, they put it away. No, they put it away, I think. Then they do another Truma Talmishka 2 weeks before Shavuot. Then you use the leftovers. But at the end of the year, you can't use the money till the end of the year. Maybe we'll need everything. But at the end of the year, if it turns out that indeed there was money left over, so then the Shiori HaMishko that was left over at the time of the Dishuni was used for one purpose. There was one series of Mishnah. And the Moshe Truma HaMishko was used for a completely different purpose. Part in the morning, part in the evening, and then you give chavitah kangaroo. Kangaroo brings a mincha. A mincha chavitah every day, which is divided in half. First he puts it all in the klisharis in the morning, to be mekadesh it all at one shot, and then he divides. No, the chavitah is brought, machtis rabot, machtis rabot, and chavitah kangaroo. The mincha chavitah and the kangaroo is brought in the morning. Half in the morning, half in the evening. So this Mishnah speaks about when they go in to do the Trumas HaMishka, they don't take out all the money, they take out most of the money, or the amount that they think that they'll be needing from Pesach until Shavuot, from Shavuot to Sukkot, so they do a Shumanah, but says, Ein HaTorein Lichnal, those who are going to do the Trumas HaMishka, those who are going to do the Trumas HaMishka are not permitted to wear, nor the Targut Kofut, they're not permitted to go in with clothing that has a hem on it, because somebody may be choshed them that they're slipping money into the hem. For those the Antilio, and not the Staksa, they go in barefoot, somebody may come to think that they're pocketing someone, putting some money in the shoe. And they start running the man of the sandals. That's for sure you're not permitted to go in to the Lishka to take out the Trumas HaLishka man with his shoes on, with leather shoes, because if you're saying about the man of the sandals, I'll go. So it's forbidden, that we learned. It's forbidden to go into the Beit HaMikdash of the Harabayim wearing leather shoes. If we mention that the soldiers have to stand Shmira, and Harabayim now, so those who are from, so the Rabbanan tell them that first of all they should go to Dick for the day before they should have higher Shemesh, so they won't have a Tumayah Tov Megufa, in case they happen to be a Balkari, so they'll have already higher Shemesh. Probably the Tumas are made with Tafa, they can't help themselves. But whatever Tumas they can remove, they should remove. So they should go to it, there would be a Zal, so they would need Mayim Chaim. Most people are not Zal, Zal is a disease, so most people are not Zal, so they don't need Mayim Chaim. So all they need is a regular Dick, but they need higher Shemesh. Shout out, they need higher Shemesh in order to go into the Harabayi. So this is a person who's somebody goes to the mikveh, they're still considered a full yom, they're still considered somebody with respect to eating truma, as the first missionary in Drachas, and with respect to eating korbanos, and with respect to entering the Beit HaMikdash. Does that mean entering the Azorah, the real Beit HaMikdash, or what about entering the Har HaBayis? But there's no Gesedah Shigimara now. That's from Akhulikas, two places. One place is in Drachim, and one place is in Shavur. So Rav Nenezer, he says that we fasten. So I'll say how we fasten. We haven't been walking in our Harabayis and all that. He says that we should fasten. Rav Nenezer writes, we should fasten. Like the Tosafot that says the Halacha, that if the yom is permitted to enter into the Harabayis. The fish goes to Mikveh, they can go today. And there's the story, they tell the soldiers to be Matnah. It was a rest for Shabbat, so they tell them they should go to Mikveh the day before. They know they have to go Shmirah tomorrow. They should go the day before to the Mikveh, before Shkiyah, and have Harab Shemesh. So the tumor, the Tumas Balkari they can get here. And then when they go into the Harabayis, they shouldn't wear leather shoes. They should wear sneakers. But they won't be violating the din of Nichnas the Harabayis.
And that's
because
the soldiers haven't even
been worse for them. They can't. Whatever Tumas you can't get rid of, you can't. Menachera Tumas is permitted to go in the Harabayis. He's just forbidden to go in the Azorah. There are different levels of Tumas and different levels of Kedushas Harabayis. And the story is forbidden to go in the Yishalayim. One has a Tumah Yerzog in the group where he's off to Menachera to go, look at Balkari. He's off to Menachera to go on to the Harabayis. But a Tumah Meir, a Tumah Sheretz, that touched someone with someone. I touched a dead body or something. As soon as made me, there was only also to go into the Migla Shema, which is the Rabbana. Arab Ayat is forbidden to go, in most Arab Ayat is forbidden to go into the Rabbana. And I'll tell you, it's a
mythical. Wouldn't that be a proof that it can go to the
No,
you can go. You can go to it.
But Harry is a higher level of Tum.
Isn't the
idea of Tum is Tum is great? A mate is not the idea of Tum. Yeah, the one that touches a mate is another Tum. Harry is only a vision. Harry is only a vision. Still, Harry is still considered a higher level of Tum because he called it Tum a higher level of Tum. It's a Tum that he didn't contract by Menachut. He didn't pick up the Tum from somebody else. It developed in his own body. That's why all the Tumah Yatom Megufa, that's the Sayer, Zab, Zab, and Yidi Yoleda, those five people are considered Tumah Yatom Megufa, they're also in the whole Harabai, Minatayim. So we tell them they should be told in the mix of the day before, if they hear Zab, they'll be Mancha, but they're not Zab, they're only playing on camp, so they just need a regular mix. Mancha means water, the holy
calling.
Right, the Kumish says Zab, and Maya. Right, Mancha means where the source of the water from under the ground. As opposed to the regular mixture, which is the source of the water.
Well, it's all cold.
You can see the mixture, but it's not mayonnaise. Some mixtures are not mayonnaise. In Ungarish, they're machmed to have mayonnaise for women, because Rashi, in around 5 seconds in the Shah, quotes an opinion from the Gaonim, that just like a Zav needs mayonnaise, so a Zavor, a woman who's a Zavor, also needs mayonnaise. Aye, but our women are not zavos, they're heathens, but we have a chumrah midrabbanan that we treat the women as tzadik zavos like it means. But because of this chumrah midrabbanan that we treat the women as a tzadik zavos, and this opinion from the Gaonim that a zavah needs mancha just like a zav, so that's why many parts can require, but Ungar should have mancha like that, but they require that to mancha. And we don't fast like that, neither are they. We fast that a zavah does not need mancha. Rashi on the Gemara, whenever he goes to the Seder, it's true. When Rabbanah Chumash goes to the Seder, it's true. It's foolish against the Seder. They just put it to that. My time is only needed for God. It's not needed for God. The Maimon don't got it, because the mitzvot that the Chassidim have are much more hygienic than the mitzvot that the Chassidim have. Because it's fresh water. So the Tendah told us in Yeshiva that he checked, he just told us that not. That every so often he takes a cup full of water from different mitzvot, samples of water, in order to check it for how high a level of bacteria it has. So he says that the cleanest mixer that he checked so far was the mixer in Squid. So he said it's a minus, mankind. And so he's cleaning himself out. So he's cleaning
it. When you make the mix, you expect that mix to make good, and then you have to let the mind clean it through.
You make an empty cavity,
right,
and then you get the rainwater to pour it.
And
then it sits there.
And it's mixed with the other.
Yep.
And then you get
dirty, but then you have to change your water to make our
shop. But if you have all the time of mining, then you always talk to yourself out naturally.
Right.
Not
right. Right. So this special din of a mayon is only needed for a zav, and it's needed for four abdomen because you have that mind time of jelly. Oh well, usually a well will be. It depends how close it is to a river. Sometimes the well is too close to the river, so just the water from the river, which comes from the rain and the snow that melts down the mountain, and it flows down the river, so it just goes a little bit further. And when you dig, you think that you've discovered an underground source of water. That's not. That's the rain. That's the rainwater.
Well, what we talk about now, even well.
Yeah.
That's the mine.
Yeah, that's the mine. But the Shilin Parskin, how far away from the Mishkan is Yankin introduced that
word? Right,
so the Achranim have a whole discussion, how far away from the river do you have to dig that you should know that it's not from the rainwater in the river, that you have the right to assume that it's really a Maya. Is that the Din of a Maya? It's a special Din of a Maya. So the Mishnah says that it's forbidden, that the real is forbidden to enter the Har HaBayit wearing leather shoes. We mentioned that's one of the dinim of Torah on Midrash. That's one of the prophet Shalmi Allah and Arad 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 Allah. So Shalmi Allah only applies to Nalayim. And the Gemara also calls the Pasuk in Yishayim, beginning of Yishayim. Where the Rebbeinu Shlomo is angry at Bnei Yisrael and he says, Mi Bikei Zeret Mi Eschem Mi Mois Chet Zeirai. Who invited you to come and trample my Beis HaMidrash? What do you mean trample? The Lord? The Gemara says the Pasuk has the connotation of walking in with shoes on. If someone enters the Beis HaMikdash with leather shoes on, that's considered a most cut there. That's a trampling in the Beis HaMikdash. That is permissible. be permitted to walk in with socks on at that time either, unless you're the kohen who's doing the avodah. If you're the kohen who's doing the avodah, you can't wear socks either. But you're not permitted to have, number one, you're not permitted to have a chalitza between your body, kol v'kol. You're not permitted, so you have the younger kohen doing the avodah. You're not permitted to have a chalitza between your foot and your body. And number two, you have a problem about the use of the garment. That if the kohen wears one stitch more of clothing over and above the arbor of garment, the four pieces of clothing that he's supposed to wear, or the kangaroo to wear a shemitah garden, 8 pieces of the uniform of the kangaroo, so it's the use of the garden is wearing an extra jacket, and it's average dust in the whole level, so all our way is no good. The shadow can light up with this, the kind of the light of the Shadow of the Sign, and he hopes very much for the sign of the Kohen, he's hoping that he would live to see Mashiach, to see a Beit HaMikdash, to do Kavanah from the Beit HaMikdash, he didn't. He was hoping that he would, and that's why the Seif Yomah, when he was an old man, he tried very hard not to use lips, but he didn't want to rely on lips. He was hoping that he would be a kohen and would do a way to make some English. He thought that maybe glasses would constitute on the use of the garden. Maybe constitute an extra baggage that he did. He wasn't there. Kama? Kama would be alright. Not a baggage. Kama would be alright. So the Mishnah says that that's certainly forbidden to wear leather shoes in a Beit HaMikdash and Harabai, but to use of the most chatzeirah, the violation of Kvod HaMikdash. But to wear socks, which is usually permissible, because they're not talking about the Kohen who are doing that way, that's allowed, but if they're counting money, then we're afraid, Mishum Hashab, even the Kim, Hashem and Israel, we're afraid some of the people said that they put some of the money into their socks. So you see, from that Mishnah, the way the Mishnah words it, that they shouldn't go into the room where all of the money is, not wearing antilia and not wearing shoes. You see, antilia is not a shoe. A shoe means if it's a leather shoe. And antilia is not a leather shoe. It's not called a shoe. That's why the Mishnah says the chalitza has to be done also na'alam na'alagloi. The yavama has to remove the shoes from the right foot of the yavam. The chalitza, the antilia is not called a chalitza. The antilia is not a shoe. Antilia is a sock. They can more see check the Gemara, who are the minhu? But we'll ask a contradiction. The other guys who have served, if I'm Tishabab and I'm Yom Kippur, or Rahman al-Assad, if somebody sits in Shiva, that one of the prohibitions is Nila Sassan. That one is not permitted to wear shoes on Tishabab and I'm Yom Kippur, or during Abel Shiva. This din against wearing shoes is only the person who's going to walk around. Let's say the din is, the Gemara says in Yuma that even for young babies, you're not permitted to let little babies wear leather shoes on Yom Kippur. Even though the Kaddish Shalai Higiya L'chinuch, the baby doesn't understand anything about anything, the mother still has to get sneakers for the baby in the Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to let the baby wear leather shoes on the Yom Kippur. The mother gives the whole explanation, it's difficult to know why. Considered Machila B'Yodayim. The other thing the mother says are permissible, right? To give food to the baby, so it's not even to bathe the baby, or to oil the shin baby with oil. The Gemara says it's permissible because the Gemara says that's necessary to the health and development of the baby. In the Shulchanot they say that the Zman Hazeh, apparently the Zman HaTalmud, they used to bathe the babies and smear them with oil every day, every single day of the year. 364 days a year. Even on Yom Kippur, they used to smear and wash the baby every day, so they did it, they were allowed to do it on Yom Kippur. But today, but that is not the common practice, that people do not necessarily give the babies bath every single day, shmir them with oil every day. And if they're on Yom Kippur, it's not proper to do it. Unless the baby's stuck a dirt, the baby's dirtier than it is necessary for the health of the child. Never is really necessary than it was. But the Gemara is more the chanishinuim, the only one that's forbidden with respect to the babies, even little babies, so they don't understand what Yom Kippur is all about. It's shoes. And not only to put on the shoes on Yom Kippur, you're not permitted to put on the leather shoes before Yom Kippur and let the kids continue wearing them on Yom Kippur, because the Gemara says everybody knows that it's not healthy to have a person go to sleep with his shoes on. So,
I don't know exactly why, that's what the Gemara says.
Oh. So the Gemara says that when the people will see the little baby wearing leather shoes on Yom Kippur, in the daytime they'll think that you must have put them on the child on Yom Kippur. They'll never occur to them that you put it on the Erev Yom Kippur and you put the child to sleep in the shoes. They'll think that you put it on Yom Kippur. But let's say that one of the strong someone has a baby has crooked feet. So sometimes they have special shoes with special bars. Sometimes they just leave the baby in a crib. The baby can't even walk, can't even crawl. They just leave the baby in the crib with special shoes on. The baby's not walking with the shoes on. That's the people that's the shayla, they're permitted to leave the baby in that thing on Yom Kippur. It's a shayla of refuah. It's not a shayla of refuah, but it's not a shayla of shoes. The Easter against wearing shoes on Yom Kippur is not if you walk with the shoes. Let's say Yom Kippur, I don't wear shoes. And when I go to sleep, I put on leather shoes. So that's permissible. If you wear shoes when you're not walking, there's no violation. The Easter of the Hilas HaFamu is to walk with the shoes on. Let's say I wear shoes and they carry me in a chair. I don't do any walking. I don't stand. But an old man, he can't stand, just sits in the chair. And whenever he sits with his feet on the ground, that's all. But he never walks with the shoe. He never stands with the shoe, never walks with the shoe. So then there's no violation of the Hilas HaFamu. They're wearing shoes. The violation only applies if you walk with the shoes and you stand with the shoes and they protect the foot. But some to wear shoes per se, they have to come around there. That's not the Mutra and Kippur and Kishibaba and those shoes. So that's what the Gemara quotes now of Brisa. The Brisa says, Echad Manol the sandal, the Antulia. All three forms, whether it's a shoe, or it's a sandal, or it's an Antulia, which sounds like a sock, Lo Yitayel Behem, you're not permitted to walk with them, and Kippur, Lo Yitayel Behem, Lo Yitayel Behem, Lo Yitayel Behem, Lo Yitayel Behem, not from one room to the other. Bias Bias means from one room to the other, not from one bed to the other. Not by walk. They're in shoes. So on Yom Kippur, there is a din that Ila Tassandal is also, only Sandal is also. Now, Sandal. And it says that Bryce Antonio is forbidden. And we, Dr. Russ on Yom Kippur, we just said before, the socks are not a shoe. Not with respect to the Yisro wearing shoes in the Beit HaMikdash, it only applies to the leather shoes. Not with respect to doing the Mitzvah Chalitza, also a limited basket of leather shoes, but the contradiction is the Bryce to consider socks on Tavor. And so he is also Dino Kishu. That's the sphere. That's the remittance. The Gemara says, Rumiya, that's the sphere. Amar Abaye gives an answer. This din that you're not permitted to wear socks on Yom Kippur means on Andam Aishah. The Yisra Kittis is talking about antilores that have very soft lining inside from the Shum Taigur. And it says in the Chumash, Shvi'inis in the Tasha Seichem, that there's a mitzvah to suffer on Yom Kippur. If you wear very, very comfortable socks on Yom Kippur, that's a violation of the evening. So the Gemara says there is no such thing. Amalei Rabbi, Rabbi Yitzchabaye, you need to tell me that everybody has to suffer on Yom Kippur. And the Shum Taigur, the Lord Mano, the Yom Kippur, and the Asiri. What do you mean? There's a mitzvah of Taigur, there's a big mitzvah. Outside of the Chumash Shinur, it's not true. We know about Rabbi Barabuna, Korach, Tudrak, Karei, and Elokrik. He used to rap. He didn't want to walk, in Kippur, you're not permitted to walk in the street with shoes, with leather shoes. That's what he didn't want to hurt his feet. Feet was rough. Pebbles, whatever. He didn't want to hurt his feet. He used to wrap Hashmata, a Suda means piece of material, cloth, around his feet. And he walked around in Kippur. The shot is why he never saw. That's the problem. In Kippur, you're forbidden to carry. A lot of people think like the Gemara had one opinion that it's permissible to carry on Yom Kippur. But it's all about more like that. They carry them on the run, they carry the silent position. But the Gemara comes to the conclusion that we don't talk like that. So we caution against that view. That on Yom Kippur it's forbidden to carry, so it's like on Shabbos it's forbidden to carry. The problem, okay. So you have to say that it's not in violation of carry. It's not a normal malbush on a normal day, 364 days of the Jewish year. If you would go like that, it wouldn't be considered a malbush. I mean, on Yom Kippur it's a malbush, so there's no better way to protect your feet. That's how the Rishonim say. The Ran of the last part of the Yom Kippur. The Ran is on the wrist, so the wrist only has the last part of the Yom Kippur. The wrist only has the things that are held up in the hand. So the first, nine problem in Yom Kippur are just about the state of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the tenth pair of Yom Kippur is all about the Dinim of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The wrist only has on the last pair. So the Ran on that wrist poses this question. He says, the HaFeh, that's what you have to say. But since on Yom Kippur, you're not permitted to wear shoes. So on Yom Kippur, if you wrap around your feet a towel or something just to protect the foot, on Yom Kippur wouldn't violate herself. But if it would be a normal Shabbat, when you can put on shoes, you have to not have any shoes. You left all your shoes at home. So we came here with slippers. We came on Shabbat with slippers. And I realized I have no shoes. And you wouldn't be allowed to walk in the street with wrapping towels around your foot if you don't have an ailment. That would be an actual herself. That's not called malbush. But on Yom Kippur, when you're forbidden to wear leather shoes, you have no prayer. But then this is Derech Levish. That's how the Ran is. Derech Levish only on Yom Kippur.
Is this something like
that from all the other? You have to have something that shouldn't fall apart, otherwise you would be afraid that it may carry it. The Ran says you're not permitted to wear any clothes, and you're not permitted to wear a very wide hat, but any clothing that you're afraid that may fall open and may carry it. The Rebbe says against Rabbi, how can you say that the brayta that you did wearing until Yom Kippur is because of the Ikmus Nafshesh, the din of time. The time, all forms of pleasure are also Yom Kippur. It's not true. Only those specific five forms that that person enjoys listening to the Chag Yom Kippur. He's not allowed to. He has to go. Have to go to supper. Have to dump your supper for the Chag. No, there is no such thing. You're allowed to enjoy things, and you're allowed to enjoy life on Yom Kippur. Just the Chag Yishinu, not for this. That's all. The Rebbe says that Rabbi said the answer Rabbi gave is not correct. Ever my Rebbe, the Rebbe says the correct answer is that the word Antilia doesn't always mean the same material. It means the form of some type of a star. So sometimes it's made from leather material, sometimes it's made from cloth. Then it's made from leather material, then it has the status of a shoe, even though it's not stuffed like a shoe, so it looks like a shoe, and then it's also on Yom Kippur. And if it's made from cloth, then it's not also on Yom Kippur. Then it's not called a shoe, then it's no good for Chalitza. And then it's mutter to wear it in the Beit HaMikdash. That's what the Rebbe says to you. Teretz, all of the spirit is, hello, my love, hello, Kasha, the Teretz, all the contradictions in Kama, feel shrug, Kama, feel your shrug, Begay. You can mention about Hanami Mishpat, we're going to prove that it's true. He looks at him, if you won't distinguish between the two types of Antilia, to say that there are two types. One is shown ore, one is leather, one is cloth. I'll show you a contradiction regarding Yom Kippur Gufa. Kasha Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur. We just had a brisa that says that on Yom Kippur it's forbidden to wear mano, sango, antilia. All three are forbidden. Now we have a brisa that says that it's permissible to wear antilia. The time we have a brisa, no, you're tired of it, you couldn't carry himself, okay? So you're not permitted to wear even low shoes. They're not even full shoes, just partial shoes. I mean, Kippur. Abo, however, it is permissible to wear until you, without Beisa. So here it says it's permissible to wear until you. And the previous writer said that it's forbidden. And the Lashmani laws, he must say that the Teretz, why say that there's a contradiction? It's easier to say that there's no contradiction. Lashmani laws, the Teretz is Kam Apil Shalom, Kam Apil Shabeg, it's Shmani laws. That's the Teretz. The Nigma says not only, it's not really a proof that Rob is right. The Rabbi says, if my shikul tayle, I can parenthesis the steel between the two brides. Maybe it's takamach leke takamah. Whether Antilia is considered a shoe or not a shoe. Maybe it doesn't make any difference whether there's from that or before. But that's what Rabbi suggests. Now the Gemara has a beforeish a brides. Tani kabal to the road, we have an exclusive brides. But the brides speaks about chalitza, and it draws the distinction between Antilia shal pegen, as opposed to Antilia shal or. It doesn't before like that. But Antilia shal or. A sock that's made of leather, even though it doesn't really protect the foot as well as a shoe, or as well as a moccasin or a sandal or something, it's still considered good for chalitza. And until you shall beg it, it's not acceptable. That's the mafurish brayta. But this brayta that they call, that's the part I'm about to do. It says explicitly that we distinguish between until you shall beg it and the first part until you shall or. Now we quote the brayta de Shmaimusa, not just that one law. And the rest of the brayta is going to have other important meaning about the chalitza shoe. Some of them we know already, and some of them we don't know yet. The Brisa says, "Chok to the manu ha-nifron." What if the Yavama removed the shoe from the oven's right foot, and it was torn? The shoe was ripped, so is it still considered a shoe or not? That says it depends. If it's still close as rov ha-regel, even with being ripped and holding it, but it still covers up the rov of the regel, then it's good. What if she took off a sandal, which is nitkas, which is also ripped, but it's makabel, it's rov ha-regel. The sandal covers up the majority of the foot, the majority of the foot being up until the ankle. Not up until the knee, up until the ankle is the foot. Same thing. They're both a manual and a sandal. This one, this has means the same thing, but I guess one is hard leather, one is soft leather, they use a different verb to get a grip. Cracked it, but it's the same thing. It depends on its purpose, whatever I go. So that's still good for public, even though it's torn. Did he ever do a good chalitza because it covers up the majority of the foot? What happens if she did chalitza with sha'am, Mishal Siv? She did chalitza with a rubber shoe. Made from some other material other than leather. So this writer says that it is good. And we're going to pick on it. We're going to have a whole discussion on the next onward. Does everybody agree? Do all the Talmud agree that other materials are good in addition to leather, it doesn't have to be leather. There's no going to call addition in Shabbos, not to learn. What if you have a shoe that's made of wood? A wooden shoe. Who wears wooden shoes? The Mishnah is thick. Yeah, those are the real shoes, I guess. Those are the real shoes. Here, the Mishnah, that's so that people didn't wear wooden shoes. What they had is, that the person, Rahman al-Islam, had his foot would be amputated, so they would have a whole piece of wood that would be called the kav of the kiteya. The kiteya is the one who's missing the leg, and the kav is the piece of wood where he puts whatever is left of the stump, whatever is left of his leg. So what if a person, if such a person can't do chalitza, he's missing the whole foot? Let's say the direct foot is missing, so he can't do chalitza. But let's say somebody else who has both feet, a person who has both feet, wants to do chalitza, and he puts on this fellow's wooden, the piece of wood that this fellow puts at the end of his stump to hold the bottom of his stump, and then he has something that extends to the floor. But the one who's about to do the chalitza is going to put on that wooden shoe, which is not his shoe, but it fits him. So the Brisa says that it's acceptable because Hakiteya, the Yavam does chalitza with the Yavam by putting on a wooden shoe. And it's not even a wooden shoe that normal people would wear as a shoe. It's the piece of wood that this fellow puts at the bottom of whatever he has left from his leg. That's also considered a shoe. Or if a person does chalitza the mope is a big problem in that case, starts with what kind of material it's made from. And it means it's not made from leather, and it's not made from cloth. It's made from... So Rashi said so. Rashi said so. It's a big problem over there. I saw in Professor Levin and Professor, he posed all different possibilities, and he said, because we're not sure exactly what material the mope is made from. Because we don't know. Professor Levin is the professor of the Jewish Theological Center. They put out a perceptor, where he put out an edition of the perceptor with the correctives, and then he has volumes of commentary on the perceptor. He goes every theorist in existence. He's shown him in Achronim, and then Greek sources and Latin sources, and he tries to compare and contrast, try to figure out all the far out words. This is the kind of thing that he would talk about. They looked it up in his perceptor, and he also said he doesn't know. Says it's not clear exactly what material the note is made from. This is what he's very big on. He tries to describe what the clothes look like and what the true taste is like and so on. That's the reality of what was going on. So I'm hoping some kind of a shoe that's made from rubber or made from felt, some kind of a shoe that is, even though it's not leather, the bright is saying that it is acceptable. Or this Niha Saraglayim. What is Niha Saraglayim? The Rashi gives the situation. A person is crippled, or a person is missing his leg and he's unable to walk. So the person, let's say, has a wooden platform which he sits on with his body, and then he moves on the floor with his hands. He moves on the floor with his hands. But what protects is the bottom of his body, what protects the bottom of his legs and whatever he has left, is considered a shoe. It's considered a shoe of people. But the Yavam, who's a healthy person, completely healthy person with two normal legs, puts on this wooden platform on his right foot, and it protects the right regal. This wooden platform covers over the right regal of his right foot. That's considered a shoe off he did, because he used it for somebody as a shoe. That's how Rashi describes it. When he moves along the ground by pushing with his hands, he doesn't want his legs to get injured. He puts some wooden protection on the bottom of his leg. That is considered a big issue. Now she says, he puts a smicha shal eik or shal or, either wood or leather.
We're looking for a shal
to go out of it. Our friends will walk out of the shal. Right. What are we going to put on the next dash? It's coming up on the very next dash. So the Brisa says that is acceptable. That's considered a shoe for chalitza purposes as well. Or gan so ye shal or. If you have an amphilia made of leather, that's also called a shoe. If the chalitza is done with a brother-in-law, the living brother of the nifter, who is past bar mitzvah, God means doesn't mean a big girl in the Torah, it means that he's past the age of bar mitzvah. So the inclusion of the situation where the living brother, the surviving brother, is not yet bar mitzvah, so that's the pasuk that it says ish, and ish means the inclusion of a kohen. A kohen cannot do chalitza. That's the bigger one. A ktana also cannot do chalitza. That's the shaila that they tell later in the Torah, whether a ktana not being able to do chalitza is a dinda right or a dinda rabban. Why not come in? It's no good, it's no good. Now come in, what if it's done already? Did he end up with a big shot of kraft? So Yoga went back to China. He either was going to rely on the chalitza, and will be matter after the edit for she already had the chalitza, will say no. But the chalitza of Tana is no good. So he said that depends on Mishal whether it's a dinner right or dinner right. That's for sure. But the Yavan has to be damaged, and that's for sure is in their right.
On the other side of the doubt, we're learning about Mandel and Mal, there's hardly any difference when it's formed by one of the hard ones, one has a little bit more scrap, one has a little bit of the inside out.
That discussion was with Hatzilim. Do we allow a man of Hatzilim? Do we allow a man of Hatzilim? But here the Gemara is talking about the Yevit. Well, how far do you go to the Yevit? Right? It says very far. The practically everything is good for the Yevit except the floor. It doesn't have to be necessarily leather, it's made from other strong materials, it's also good because they protect the food. That's the Sarah Shabbat believes that they're made to protect the food. But a cloth stock or a cloth shoe doesn't really protect
it. It's like a thin material, like either a canvas or a sneaker.
Think about how it does protect the food.
Yeah.
But that would depend on this machlokes. We would talk that it's no good, even to the edges, because we talk in against this where we have to have lots of leather. But then in Kippur we allow sneakers. The Gemara says that everything is probably dead and dead. Whatever is considered a shoe be in Kippur is considered a shoe for honey. Whatever is not a shoe be in Kippur, not a shoe for honey. So we follow the opinion that we need after leather. Based on the pasuk, then all that tachash. We have the pasuk. And all that tachash from the chesed compared from Zion, it has to be after made of tachash, means leather. But according to other timeline, anything that's making, as long as it's not soft cloth, anything that's making, let's say tough rubber or something like that, would be considered a knot.
Am I correct?
If the husband died, and he left his wife with his son, she wasn't about to live for yet. But he's still in Kali, they have no children. And the man who died had no children. Not from her, not from a previous wife, not from another one. Not from the other girlfriend, it doesn't have to be on the wife. So the dinner is that then she needs Kali. The dinner is that he's still in Kali. No, he made it in the Yavim. Once they have, if they have Yisuna, it depends. If they have Yisuna ready, so then she was ready to open the Shus every year. After Yisuna, if she only had Eretz,
she won't go back.
After Yisuna, goodbye, she doesn't go back. Right, after Yisuna, she doesn't go back. After Bagrus, she doesn't go back to the
Mishnah.
Right? Bagrus means the 12 and a half. So after Nisun, she doesn't go back to the Mishnah. She doesn't have to go back even if the father is not alive. She eats Truma. So anything's Truma, period.
She was married. And then she was her husband. She had no children. She can go back to
Nisun. She doesn't have to go back. The father is not alive.
No,
she's a brother. She can be a brother. She is true.
Why would she marry a husband? She's not even a brother.
Right.
Once she gets to become a mother, and she has no children, she has to look at her. It's only if she's a brother, she goes back to her mom. In other words,
that's not the going. That doesn't mean she goes back. She's a commander. So she can only take
children.
Goes back to her own status. Doesn't go back to the issue. If the father is directly still and you can't go back to the father's issue, that's called the Yisrael of the Chayyadiyah. The father's alive and she has the status of the Yisrael.
So he can't be married
to the Yisrael, right? Yeah, he cannot be married to the Yisrael. So usually asking the Yisrael, what's the Yisrael of the Chayyadiyah? That it soon goes into, rightfully so, that the mother died and the father's alive. He's the Yisrael of the Chayyadiyah. The Yisrael because there's no mother. Chayyadiyah, the father's still alive. But that's not the answer that I want. The Mishnah in the end of the Zohar uses this as a technical term. Now you say that the Chayavir means that the father is alive and the mother is alive and she's still a Yisrael off. He didn't. Yisrael means that she's not the Shutavir. Why? Either because she had Bagrus already, after the age of 12, and she's living by her father. I have daughters who are boyfriends. But they're called Yisrael of the Chayavir. They have a mother, they have a father, they have all the other children in the family. And off he didn't, and that's the Shutavir. I'm paying for their education, I'm paying for their clothes and their food and everything. Yeah. They're not Bishuti anymore, after the age of 12 and a half, or after he's still. If they got Eretz and he's still, if they're fully married, then they're Yotzis Bishuti. and they never go back to the Rishus Adir. Those are the two cases that the Mishnah has is the Yisrael of the Chayavir. That's a technical term, and we end up in Durham. It means that there is a father, there is a mother, but she's Al Pidin, goes to the Rishus Adir, she will never return to the Rishus Adir. The father has no shlit over her anymore. So it's in a kibirah. There's a lot of kibirah. That means the father has no right to be made by the Zorin. The father cannot sell her as an Amoribriya. The father cannot be in the Kabbalah Kiddushin on her behalf and so on. All the various meanings on the point. So this guy is listing off what shoes are acceptable for Chalitzos. In fact, everything is acceptable. And then he's going to say what's not acceptable. We'll leave out these two lines and we'll get back to it later. Let's do the second line on Sufim of an Altavo. However, if you use a manal hamifron, if it's a ripped up shoe, shenachaitis regarekel, which doesn't cover the majority of the foot, the foot being up until the ankle. Well, this dandel hamifchat, which is torn, shenachaitis regarekel, doesn't cover up the majority of the foot. Or this nichat hayodayim, let's say somebody crippled, let's say, the way he walks, he sits on a wooden platform with the wheels and he goes. And let's say when he goes on the ground, he's afraid he has to push the ground in order to go. The kid is going to keep on pushing the ground with his hand, it's going to hurt his hand. He has, let's say, special gloves in order to push. So those gloves, let's say, are made from leather. Or let's say they're made, made in such a way that they can fit either the hand or the foot. So if the yogin will put on that glove that the cripple uses to hit the hand, that's no good. A shoe has to be something that's miyuchat to protect the foot. Doesn't have to be my foot as long as it's somebody's foot. So it has to be made for the purpose of protecting the foot. So the first thing for the price says a smicha saraglayim is acceptable. Something that's made to protect the feet of the cripple from getting injured is called a shoe. You know, it's not a normal size shoe. It still is called a shoe, but if it's a smicha saraglayim, then it's not acceptable. Because I dine, it's no good. Oh, the ancillary shall take it is no good. The first line of the price is the left line on the base. Until you shall all is good. Now it says until you shall take it is not good. That's exactly what Rabbi says. Rabbi had a guy who died with a parrot, his seed and a branch and his kipper. And you can think that's what Rabbi says. You can say that there's really a machalekis hatarai. Who says that you have to find him for this seed? Here the price has both. It says until you shall take it is no good and until you shall all is good. So this is Tani Kabbalah, this is a mafurish advice that says it's good to do that well. Then the Braita continues with the rest of the concept. The Braita said originally, Chaletus min ha-godol. The Chalitza is done only if the Yogam is passed by Mitzvah. Then it's good. Now it's Chaletus min ha-kot m'chalitza t'psula. The Chalitza is done with the Yogam who is before by Mitzvah. That's not good. That's not bad. That's a demon I thought. I don't know if in the first one says Ish. Ish, the parish and Ish means passed by Mitzvah. Why did the Patrick, that's what this fun of Israel. Why did the Patrick and Ish? That a cousin is not good. You have to have Da'at. You had already the dinner. She's Kavnu Shneya. You had on the top of Kuvayim of the day, on the sixth floor. The Mark ordered a Braisa, a successor. Benchin is Kavnu, her blood is Kavnu. Benchin is Kavnu, her blood is Kavnu. Chalitza is Tula. Ah, she is Kavnu Shneya. Chalitza is only Matar Ashur. If the Yogam and the Yibama both have in mind at the time that she's removing the shoe from his right foot, that by this removing of the shoe, by this Chalitza, she becomes a parent to him out in Ashur. But you have to have kavonis, of course, a cherishes in the cotton, a love in a day in it. So the cotton before bar mitzvah is not considered a bar dance. Of course, you cannot make kinyonim. You cannot take a neder or a shvu or a hekdush or anything.
Why should you do it?
Oh, that's exactly. So you see from this gemara, and the fact that the Chaim has in the face, Chaim has a Shemesh also in the state. What? We don't need a problem. That's what this was called in Vajra. A Chaim has a Shemesh Kotaz and this is the Yeshivish shot. And all the Yeshivish they say the same shot. Why does the Gemara need a problem to exclude Kota from being able to do Chalitza? Wouldn't that say on my own? There are Kinyan. Isn't there a Kinyan? Don't you need that? That's what I have on Vita. What do you mean? It's Kabe? You have to have Kabonis Kinyan to be Master of Yvonne Malashuk. Of course, the Chayyush has to be caught, and of course, the Koran is, you cannot make anything out of him, he's allowed by God. That's what all the Rosh Hashim is saying, no, you see, from this Gemara, the Chalitza does not need Da'at. Chalitza just needs Kavanah, but it's not the same as Da'at Al-Kadim. So Kotan depends how old he is. If he's only 4 years old, he doesn't know what's going on. There's no Kavanah, but if he's 4.5 years old, then he is able to do Kavanah, he is able to have Kavanah. So it's a Da'at he can't have. You, who said, you don't need Da'at for Chalitza. There's no need for Da'at for Chalitza. All you need is Kavanah. And then the Meir, once you do the Halitza, so the Torah says that the Yibam is entitled to Himas Mashur. It's not like Nechomenka. That's what Chaim Rashim and that's what he It's not like Nechomenka that because I want to sell it to you, that my God King accomplishes the effect, accomplishes the result. No. He just means that it should be labeled as a mitzvah chalit. If they have to have kavanah, they should know what's involved. Once they have kavanah, so that, that with their kavanah, they will not be only making even if you hold by mitzvahs, even kavana, the person can still have kavana. Da'at became out. That is considered a higher level of da'at. And that's a mental person to get that da'at. So when we get to chalitza, the halacha doesn't require da'at to da'at. The lashon of the bright is, how she is kavana shnei, you have to have kavana. Kavana is that lashon. The kavana make an answer. The cherish, the shirt in the cotton. Can I have kavana? So if I hear, I need a special part with the dish, start with kavana. The kavana cannot do a chalitza.
Yes,
I think that you need to know that it's not correct. Because a kid and a man will
cut
the shoe. A shoe will cut the shoe. If at least one of them has kavanah, right? That's the price that we discussed before. So the mark says to be matter lashu, the chalitza should be matter the moment to remarry after that kavanah shneya. But to forbid the yavam from doing yibum, even without kavanah shneya, it would also last. So then we had the maritats and others, the maharshik, our friend had showed that there's a machlokes and rishonim here between Rashi and Rosh on the one hand, and the Rambam on the other hand. And we say that once you do a chalitza, you're not going to do a yibum, is that only a chalitza? So at least one of them has kavanah. But if you're not divided that either has kavanah, then there isn't even a need to do yibum. Or even if it's possible that nobody had any kavanah, it will still ask them. It will still be asked to do yibum. That was the machloekis that they had between the Rishonim. That would be discussed. The machloekis and the Rishonim are not the one. Now we left out the shaftu lines on the yomish. The Brisa says, one who stands by mitzvah, if the Yavam is acted by mitzvah and he participates in the chalitza, it's good whether he's standing or sitting or leaning, whether he's blind or he's able to see. It has nothing to do with the shoe, nothing to do with the chalitza, shoe, it has to do with the dinam of chalitza. Saying, I made the Yeshua ben Yusuf, whether standing or sitting or leaning, Yusuf means laying down on the couch, and the chalitza is not sin, it's also good. The chalitza is done with a blind brother-in-law, don't forget. So this is what the Rishonim is, what in the world is this all about? What's the hat on here? Why should I think a blind, I don't think a blind man can do chalitza. Well, it's bottom line, this is here. What's the chiddush about? Standing and sitting, why should I show that it is good, it's not good? Oh, that's what I said, that's what I said. The one shot that I just said, it says in the Chumash, the Yorker the Tana, that she sits in his presence. You know? So the whole idea is that she should be in the Vaza in. So if he doesn't see the fact that she's sitting, then maybe that's considered a Chisara in the Ritika. Either Ritika is not Miyake, the Ritika is not Miyake, so that's exactly what it says. That if you do Chalitza with a blind man, it's good because the Ritika is not Miyake. It doesn't seem like that's what it says. It doesn't seem to say like that. Right, so this writer says, Achalat is not a Tumor, Chalitza is not Sheirua. Chalitza is good to the end, it sounds like Lachatzila is not good. Why is the Taka not good Lachatzila? The Rambam quotes the writer as it says, that Lachatzila you shouldn't do Chalitza with a Tumor, but to the end it would be good.
That is not good,
but it
could have, like
your example today. Oh. So this, the Mishnah Lamelach, and the Rambam raises this point. So this is being that chalitza is supposed to consist of three parts. Removing of the shoe, then the kriya of the tzuki. The yavam says he doesn't want to marry her, the yavam says she refuses to marry me, and so on, and then you have kriya of the tzuki, and after the chalitza is finished also. And then the rikika is sitting, that's three parts. What if the yavam, he didn't do the mitzvah, the shalutza, with the sitting, and with the kriya of the tzuki, all he did was removing the shoe? So there's a machloekes of Hanan, but we found him that the Yevet, you fulfill the mitzvah, and the woman is permitted to be married. So the Yevet, that's considered sufficient for the Hanan. But what happens if you didn't do the Kriya Pasukim before they came to Hanan? Aches, you have to say, Loi Chapasti Lekapa. What if he just came to Hanan? So has he tried and he tried and he can't? But he can't speak, So they're unable physically, either the Yevet or the Yevet, but physically unable to speak, are physically unable to pronounce the head, or to pronounce some of the letters there that you're supposed to say. So then the Gemara says no good. A cheresh v'charesh is one who's mute, whether the Yavam is mute or the Yavam is mute, and they're unable to say the words, even though the Kriya of the Tzukim is Einem Yakeva. You have to have the ability to do the Kriya of the Tzukim. The Gemara says, in the green of Korban Mincha to the Beit HaMikdash, you're supposed to mix oil into the Mincha. Every Korban Mincha says, Mincha B'lul Hashem. many times he says, "Mukhan Mishmin Chaburul Hashem." But the Mishnah says in an offer that that's not Niyakib any ever. It says, "Wait for a while, if you didn't do the believer with Hashem, then so it's not Niyakib. Niyakib for in Hashem, Hashem is Niyakib. But if you didn't do the believer, you didn't stir it together, then the ever it will still be kosher. But what happens if you filled up the Kli, let's say this is the Kishar, if you filled up the Kishar with so much Mincha, so much flour to the top and poured in the oil, and it's ready to fall over, it's physically impossible to stir it, then a day of comments and mission, we end up with that is kosher. That is proper. If you bring a mincha and such a so much flour and such a small plea that it's physically impossible to do the lilo, then the inability to do the lilo possible because of the yin. So if they have the same comment over here, in our favor, so even though the kriya sapsukim is not miyakeves, but if the people doing the chalitza physically unable to speak or they're unable to pronounce the letters and the sukim versapashi lakasto, so then the chalitza is not acceptable. So the Mishnah Melech raises this question, how can the Rambam say, and it's Rambam now, how can the Rambam say that l'chatchila, you're not supposed to do chalitza with a tumma, because you can't see, and that's not called rikika. It says the ark of the funnel, you have to sit in his presence, and you should see that you're sitting in front of him. The ark, you should see, you should realize that she's sitting in front of him. If he's blind, so it's not called the ark of the funnel, so it's considered, even if she does do the rikika, it's considered as if she hadn't done the rikika. So the Mishnah Melech says, if that's the correct shot, so how can the Rambam quote the right that happened and say that the Yevit is good? There should be no good even to the Yevit. Since it's physically impossible to do the Kika, there should possibly even be the Yevit. So he thinks that that's not the correct shot in the Rambam. That's what he thinks. And the Beis HaLevi has a tshuva where he parenthesis this. He says, no, that is the correct shot. He has an Eloi Shaita. Beis HaLevi is what Yoshe Deb used to. That is a Chaim Salvezi's father. He was a Rambam Yid. Also Rashi and Balozhin, and then he was a Rambam Yid. So he writes in his tshuva, Beis HaLevi, he has a footnote to a tshuva that Kol Sheina Roi Levilo. So he writes on Ein Sof. He says that when you do this seder of the chalitza, what do you do first? So you have already the Gemara quote. First you have kriya sapsukim, then you have the moving of the shoe, then you have the sitting, and then you have the kriya sapsukim. So if you go in the correct order, once she's already removed the shoe, she's ready to tell us the Nantila shoe. You finished already. So what do I care if you can't do the kika later? The rikika is not miyakiv, and the role of the rikika doesn't make sense that it's miyakiv either, because the whole rikika comes after the hasaras amano. If you can't do the kriya sapsukim, which is supposed to precede, the removing of the shoe, but then I say, if it's called shame, the royal tefillah, you can't get the first base, and you can't get the second base. But if you fly over the first base, and if you run straight to the second base, it would have been good, but that's only good if you could have gone via first base. If it's Roy Latilo, then the Blila is not Yahweh. But if you couldn't do the Kriya Sapsukim before because they're unable to see, then even the removing of the shoe is considered no good as possible. But if you're not right, let's say the people are able to speak, some people can pronounce some sounds and can't pronounce other sounds. But let's say you have a situation, they can pronounce the sounds that are supposed to be said before the Chalitza, and they're not able to pronounce the sounds that are supposed to be said after the Chalitza. It's highly unlikely. So the Beis HaLevi says he thinks that it is. He's writing that as a Yiddish. He thinks that it will be good. He thinks that the only time he says Kol She'ein or Roy Levila, Bila Miyakeves, is let's have Korban Mincha. When are you supposed to do the Levila? Before you do the Haktorah. The Haktorah of the Chalitz is Ma'akim. You have to do Kmitzah, then you have to do Haktorah. If you didn't do the Kmitzah, you didn't do the Haktorah of the Chalitz, then you didn't do anything. You didn't bring the Korban Mincha. The Belila is obviously supposed to precede the Kmitza, which in turn is supposed to precede the Haktorah. So if it's not right, it's illegal because it's all filled up to the top, ready to fall out, and you can't stir it. So you're missing the ability to do one of the earliest stages, so then even if you've done the later stages, it's no good. But if you're missing the... No, it's supposed to be... You're not supposed to do the Kmitza with the Torah. You have Lavona. You have to remove the incense. You have to move that to the side. It should be in the Kli. It should be in the Kli, but on the side, so that when you do the Kli, you're doing the Kli from the flower that has a lot of oil. So again, you should do the Kli from the top of the very beginning. The part that has a lot of oil. If you can't, maybe you can. But what happens with the Lady Rat the Chidish, if you're supposed to do a series of 10 Kulas to do a Mitzvah Bishla and Mitzvah, and to the end, if you would have only done to the 8th, it would be good. Chassidim told him to do 9 and 10, and he do it in such a way that you're unable physically to do 9 and 10. And he thinks that that would be good. And he says that that would be the terrace, and then Mishnah Melech cash on the Rambam. Mishnah Melech himself gives a different shot than the Rambam one. Wouldn't it be kind of shoot the Shandikra places to... Places here be the matter of Al-Khaletis and Asuna and Tuk Shadim. What's wrong with Achille? Why does it say Achille? That if you do Chalitza and the Yavon, the surviving brother, is lying, so it's good. Sounds like the evidence for the right there. Why is the evidence good? You know what I'm saying? Why is the evidence should be good with Achille? The Raman says, well, Achille, the Chalitza should not be done by a blind brother. But for the Yevid it wouldn't be good. What would the Raman's opinion be if there's only one brother who's alive and that one brother is blind? But that's a machlokes in it that came on the Rambam. And the portion on the Rambam has two interpretations. But the Rambam says, look, the Hashat HaTchak, there's only one living brother. But either he's going to do the Chalitza, or the woman will remain in Akuna for the rest of her life. So maybe we should say Shat HaTchak. See, the Yevid doesn't do Shat HaTchak. We allow the Hatchila, because we would normally only allow the Yevid. Maybe if there's only one surviving brother, we have to allow the blind brother to do the Chalitza. Maybe you know. Maybe the Rambam would say no. Whenever the brother is blind, whether there is another brother or not, he's not allowed to do the Chalitza. Unless the Yevid, the one Yevid, did the Chalitza already, but then we can't say that the woman is not permitted to remarry. That's the machlokes, you know, if it came on the Rambam. What would the Rambam say in such a situation? He's the only surviving brother, and he happens to be blind. But the Rambam quotes the bride to Kipshuta, that the Chalitza is too much, and not do Chalitza. And the Yevid, if he did the Chalitza, it would be good. And the writer says he doesn't see what's wrong with the Chalitza. Why shouldn't the blind man be allowed to do Chalitza? So why can't it? Is the Rambam hold Mugel and Hatzilah? So the Knight of Kelly wrote this little thesis, Macholetus and Atumah. The thesis in this Demonshat is based on the Yorke of the Tvonah. The Yorke of the Tvonah sounds like she should do the Rikiki in his presence. But the Yevid is not Niyakim, because the whole Rikiki is not Niyakim. So I don't care about the whole thing. Aye, but if you buy the Tvonah Royal Rikiki, the Tvonah Rikiki should be no good. So that's what the Beis HaLevi has a Chiddush. Let's say the Yevama is unable to salivate. She has no sickness, she has no salivary gland, yes? There's no saliva coming out. So would you say the Chalitza is no good? She has a Chiddush, no, it would be good. I don't need royal in the teacher, because the Kikah follows the Chalitza. You only need that it should be royal to all the things that be seen the removing of the shoe. But once you have the shoe, would you move? Stop it! So she's mechanical shoe. And don't worry about the fact that she's not royal to do the whole list of the Shlomut, even the things that are close upon. That's one shot in place. Then Chalitza has another shot, the first shot. The synthesis says in the Sibri, Amy has a Canaan, that the Chalitza has to be done in the sight of the Bezin. The Bezin has to be able to see. So Taisus says, I would have thought that that's what it means. The Amy has Canaan also. Not only should the Chalitza be done with the Bezin watching, the Yavam has to also be able to watch. Taisus writes that I would have thought like that. Avi Amina, I would have thought, who are in the Amy has Yavam? That the oven has to be watching also, so Kamashkal on the bright that is not true. It is not so that the oven does not have to watch. But in the Rambam, some of the names became, some of the commentary at the start of the Rambam say, that the Rambam wrote the pshat like Tezis first pshat, not like Tezis second pshat, not like Tezis first pshat. But Lichatzkin, you have to fulfill the pshuta shalmikro. Pshuta shalmikro sounds like, where do we have that? That Lichatzkin, you have to fulfill the pshuta shalmikro. Right. They say it's wrong. Right. Right. Taisa sounds like the rabbi. Right. Taisa sounds like the rabbi that is mutar lachatchila for a blind man to do chalitza. But the Rambam says lachatchila the blind man should not do chalitza because of the Yevid it would be good. So the commentary on the Rambam say the Rambam could hold, and he doesn't explain what's wrong with lachatchila, they say the Rambam could hold even the first order of Taisa Pshat in the Taisa. They say either Pshat is good in the Rambam also. Well, did Pshat according to the first way? So we had it in. And the Gemara, the Rashi showed the Gemara that Lachatchila, the shoe should belong to the Yavam. Why? Because the Pshut Shal Mikra says, V'chol Tavna Alo, Na'al Ragla Lachatchila, we should fulfill the Pshut Shal Mikra. I know Na'al Lo, his shoe should be his. So that's what we do. But the Bezin always gives the shoe over to the Yavam, and they tell him to pick it up and retain it. But the shoe should be Shaloi. Why? Because to fulfill the Pshut Shal Mikra. And similarly, Lachatchila, we do the Chalitza standing up. Either by the Brighton says, they might be Ben Yesh and Ben Mutter. It says exclusively in the top line on our graph. That if the Chalitza is done, seated, or if the Yavam does the Chalitza in a reclining position, then the Yavam would be good. But still, Lachatchila, they have to do Ba'amidah. That's the place it's called the Gemara from the Ka'amon Dal Kubah. The top place it's called. It says on Dal Kubah that the Bezdin, the Zion of the Bezdin, told the woman, Diti Yamaydi. stand up and we'll do the Khalifa. So I said, why do you tell him to stand up? If the prayer of the Khalifa can be done either in a standing position, a sitting position, or a reclining position. So he says, no, but Khatkhim he need Bamidah. Why do you need Bamidah? So there are several pshatim in the Rishon. One of the pshatim is that the Pshat Rishon Mikra says, the Omar Lecho Fatsi Vekasa. It says, the Omar. Since the simple reading of the Talmud is that they should do it Bamidah, even though the Halacha says that it's not that, that it's not the Yaakov, we try whenever possible to fulfill the Pshat Rishon Mikra. So that's how some commentaries on the side of the Rambam interpret the Rambam here. The Chachina, we wouldn't allow Halitza to be done by a blind man. Some of the questions say only if there's another brother who's not blind. In other words, even if there's no other brother, he's the only surviving brother. If he's blind, the Chachina would not allow the Halitza. But the Yevon, if it was done by the blind man, it would be good. What's wrong with Chachina? Because the Pshuta Shamikra sounds like it says, Leini has Canaan also. The Halitza should be done in such a fashion that the living brother should see what's happening, as well as the members of the day. That's the Pshuta Shamikra. Did the evidence of the Chalitza would be done in such a fashion that the living brother wouldn't, because he's blind, or he's looking in the wrong direction, he doesn't see everything that's happening to the evidence, it would be good. As long as it's Leini has a Canaan. But we have clearly tried to fulfill what we consider the Pshuta Shamikra, that they should both be seeing what's happening, both the dead and the brother. But if he's assumed that he can't see, then the Chalitza wouldn't allow. That's how some of the questions say on the Rambam. What's wrong with the Sunnah doing the Halitza of the Hatzil? In the Tatis on the Yomu, they give another Pshat. There's a whole question here. Why do we require the Hatzil that the Yomu and the Yibonah should stand when they do the Halitza? If they're older people and they just can't stand, so they're allowed to do the Halitza sitting there. But the Hatzil, we have them stand. So one Pshat that we shouldn't say is, we try to fulfill the Pshat Rishon Mikra, says it says. So it says, the Omer. That's what I'm saying. So it says, the Omer. But then Tayyip has another Pshat. Because you have a din that whenever people appear in front of the Bezdin, the din requires that they have to stand. Whenever Aden comes and testifies, the din is have to stand. Whenever you have a din Tayyip, so the Baladidim has to stand. The din is the Bezdin can give them permission to be seated. But the din is that they're supposed to stand. And the din is that still, the Tezis says still, Tezis and the Rajah say still, since they do constitute a Bezin, so out of cover of the Bezin, since they are constituting the Bezin, out of respect to the Bezin, that they would require that they should stand Lachatzila. But the evidence of this, it would be good, that Lachatzila they should stand out of cover of the Bezin.
What do you say about a Bezin? What do
we don't really need a Bezin by the Bezin. We have a Chumra there. We have a Mesdara HaGev when we treat like a Zayin. Right, the Gemara says one time during, at least one time during the course of the presentation, it may not be the whole time. Part of the time you have to stand, if they didn't stand from the beginning till the end, so at least the Gemara didn't have to stand. That's what the Gemara says in Shavuot. At least the Gemara did. If they stood in the beginning, it's good. They all have Shulchan points out. And when you have it in Torah, most of the Dinei Torah, they don't do it. They all have points out. When you have it in Torah, the two Shavuot come in to fight with each other, to present their versions of the case. So the Dayanim have to tell them that they should please stand. And then they give them permission that we allow you to sit. The Din requires that you have to stay, but we now allow you, we give you permission to sit. Shouldn't just let it, tell them to come in and have them sit down and have to sit. Then you move out to the whole mitzvah, Yom Mishneh HaMash, Mashal HaHem HaLiv, Lepnei Hashem. It's a public in the Torah that the two Baladinim have to stand. The Baruch HaShulchan writes, tell them that they should come in and tell them that they have to stand, but we now give you permission. We're working on our cover, we give you permission to be seated. You shouldn't sit on their own until you tell them to sit. And if they did, then he said, yes, tell them to stand up and then give them the permission. So you can see it goes to Gemara and Mark Tutton. You know Mark Tutton, of course, is right, but Gemara and Mark Tutton learns out from a passage that Kriya, Rahman al-Assad, written Kriya, when a relative dies, must be done by Amida. If the living relative written Kriya, the Yeshiva, they're not here, so even the other, they have to written Kriya a second time. Gemara tells the person who written Kriya three times. Each time there was something wrong. So the third time he finally did it right and get to the Chiyah of Kriya. So one of the conditions of Kriya is it has to be, you have to get the Tefah and it has to be done by Amida. Then it's easily argued that he has it. Well, there my cousin, not profound. Both this Bryce and Ed. How come over here it says Vyoma, Vyoma, Lepapat, Sivakasa, Vyoma. And the word Vyoma, Vyalabdaftir, Samyakit, Vyabhidvahamitsa. And by Kriya, the Pasuk says, and Eos, that when the children die, so it says, Eos stood up, and he ripped Kriya, and then we say that Amida is Yahweh. How do you know which Pasuk where it says Amida? In the Hebrew language, sometimes we say, on the kitchen. You know, says the two parents are speaking to each other about marrying off the children, and then it says, on to the kitchen. I mean, they stood up and they got married. No, even in English you say, they stood up and they did something. Doesn't mean they stood up. I mean, they did it immediately. Take it, they did something, take it. So how do you know when it says, Biomar, Biomar, how do you know what it means, Amita, Dachir, or just a believer? It doesn't really mean that the answer is correct. The Gemara presents this contradiction. Stop. Right. It doesn't necessarily mean to stand up at all. That's what the Gemara is. How do you know when the Amita is the Kufa, and when it's only the Hasidah, or when it's not even the Hasidah? So the Gemara gives a difficult into it. The Gemara says it depends. Here it says, the Omar, the Omar. It says Rabba Ma'teres, it really says Omad, and it says Ziyomad, it says Rabba Ma'teres, it means Yamos. But if it really says Vayamos, Vayamos, Vayikra, then it means business, then it means Likub. Why is that a difference? By Eos it says when the children die, Vayamos, Vayikra is the Dogger. But since it says Vayamos, Vayikra, there it's Likub. Here it says Ziyomad, Ziyomad, so it's not Likub. You have to look at the Gemara there to understand the whole problem. Why should that make a difference? But that's the price of the Gemara told us as well. The next Gemara is going to go into the next theme that we didn't really touch on yet. What is the status of other shoes, not cloth and not leather? So the Brisa says that seeds and sham and wood are acceptable. The Kava can say it would. The Gemara is going to quote that Mishnah and Shabbos, but the other shoes made from materials other than leather have the status of shoes or not. We don't know so far that cloth is not considered a shoe and leather is. So what about other materials that's the next week? We'll know the next week. So right now. The Pasuk in Parshat Vayigash describes the way Yaakov Avinu is going down from the shrine with his whole family, and he has a Marahat Ruah that Hashem appears to him, and he tells him, Anochi Yeridim from the shrine of Anochi, I'll go down my Lord. I will go down with you from the shrine, and I will bring you back. There is his choice. So the Marahat has a comment on this passage. The Marahat has a comment. And the Pasuk is speaking about the theme of Kavut Hashchina. But the Shchina says, Kivayachal, as if he's going into Mitzrayim, he's going to go together with Yaakov Avinu. What exactly does this mean? That there's an idea of Golos Hashem. The Sama Foshim on the Gemara explained it as follows. That there is a Gemara in Makos, the Talmud Shagolo, and the standard Talmud that says there is a bit of Golos. I wonder if someone is a Hari Bishogi. Somebody's Hari Bishogi. So we give him Mikla. Someone is Hari Bishogi, so we send him into Hari Mikla. But the Prophet says, regarding Hari Mikla, we send him away to the Hari Mikla for Chai Shoma. He should live there. It's not supposed to be intended as an upkomdish, that we should suffer there, we don't want more. It's supposed to be a comfortable place. It's supposed to be comfortable, but it's supposed to be comfortable. But the Gemara says, Talmud Shagolo, as a Talmud from the Yeshiva, is sent him to Golo, modeling the Rabbo Imam. So you have to send it there, that you have to establish a Yeshiva there, because if it's a person is interested in learning, won't have a Yeshiva, it's all of his mind, will be miserable. And it says, Rachai Shama, he's supposed to enjoy living there. He's not supposed to suffer. Okay, let's say today you won't have any television, you won't have any radio, you won't have any newspaper, you won't have any library, so go off his mind. But now I mean, well, it has to be convenient. You have to have a comfortable place. That's all of our Haisham. The moral factor says, based on this thing, that it's forbidden to stay here to have Talmud Shema Hogan. So Talmud is not grown, because he may kill somebody with Shege, and then the Rebbe will have to go off the road. So therefore the moral says, the Rebbe has to be very picky when he has it with Talmud. The Sama Foshim on the Gemara said that that's the idea of Golos Hashchina. That when the Baruch Shalom sends us into Golos, it doesn't mean he wants us to suffer. He wants us as a punishment. Golos Hashchina is Golos Hashchina, Golos punishment. But it's not a punishment that we should suffer there, on Hashir. No. Mitamot, it should be a suffering with a limit. But that's why Mazel, the Rabbi Imo, so the Shchina has to go together with Bnei Yisrael to make it a little more comfortable. It should be too miserable. That's the form of approaching the Alder Hashem. What is the whole idea of Golas Hashchina? So in the Kabbalah's form, the Palatine is called the Kabbalah's form, but it means something completely different. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kodesh, right? Have a problem. Hayetim HaTohar is Toh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kodesh. Whenever he creates that Kiddush, we don't assume like that. We say that it's Kodesh and Toh. We say HaKadosh and Abdul HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't really mean Chol. It means that some things are Kodesh Kodesh and some things are Kodesh Kal. You don't have everything is Kodesh and Chol. You have Shabbos is more Kodesh than Kippur, and Kippur is more Kodesh than Yom Kippur. And then you have Tzimun Shal Yad, and Tzimun Shal Rosh, and Rosh has more Kedusha than Shal Yad, and you have Shulis, Maitlis, you have different Madregas in Kedusha, at the Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, different levels of Kedusha based on Midrash. There are different levels of Kodesh. There's the lowest level of Kodesh before Chol. But it doesn't really mean that it's Chol, it means that it's a very low level of Kodesh. It can't be Chol. If the Baruch Hu created the world, and he created all the things in the world, so everything that he creates, that's good by definition, has to be Kodesh. But it's a lower level of Kedusha. So the Kabbalah forms speak about Kedusha being all over in the world, and the Rabbanu Shalom created everything with Mitzvot of Kedusha, with properties of Kedusha, even Chol. Everything has Mitzvot of Kedusha, so that everybody should use all of these things for purposes of Kedusha, and everything in the world only has its fulfillment of its existence if it's involved in Mitzvot, and Mitzvot, and in Yimei HaTorah, or whatever, it serves some function. If the Kedusha is, and it says the Kedusha in it, are used for some valuable purpose, that it shouldn't have a wasted existence. So this is what the theme of Golas HaShechina means in Kabbalah's form. It means that the Shechina that involves all over and all objects in the world, doesn't only mean the Jewish nation, is in Golas, the Shechina is with us, to protect us. Like when you send somebody to our mikvah, so you make it comfortable for him, the Rebbe goes along. Even when the Jewish nation lives in Eretz Yisrael, as much as you tell Shereen Malad Martin, it's still a thing, it's still an idea of Golas HaShechina. What it means is that there's a Kedusha, there's a latent, hidden Kedusha in all of the world. In Eretz Yisrael, there's Kedusha in the Dibrei Chol. The lowest level of Kodesh we call Chol. That's called the Golas HaShechina. The Kabbalah form refers to the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Melech Asur Barahatim. That the king is arrested in it. There's a Shechina that's giving Kedusha to all the things in the world that's not being used for anything. So that's what's called Golas HaShechina, and we are told to try to use all of these things, all of these intrinsic contributions that are all over the world for purposes of mitzvah. Mashal, the Gemara has a lashon in the first parish of Rabbi Kamba. We're going to go to Kamba now in the third one. The Gemara has a lashon when you share the behemoth, you say a bracha before you share. That's it, the behemoth drops dead on its own. So the Gemara calls it Arura. It didn't have a bracha. So the Gemara calls Yobi Arura Lebezi. You should bring the cursing, not a curse of Adam, I mean that didn't have a blessing recited over it. At the behemoth that you shecht, so instead of rocket, oh! So you use the behemoth to do a mitzvah, instead of rocket, you shecht to the behemoth. And the flesh is going to be eaten by a person who will now have koyach to do a mitzvah, to learn, to do avodas Hashem, to daven, to do something properly. Everything in the world has the taste of kedusha in it, and we always try to use whatever possible in avodas Hashem. In the name, everything then will have its purpose and its fulfillment. That's the idea of Golas HaShechina in Kabbalah.